Paul spent 2 years in the city of Ephesus telling people about Jesus. But he had even bigger plans. He wanted to take the good news to Rome, the capital city of the mighty Roman Empire. Paul had lots of enemies who wanted him dead. In today's episode, they hatched their plan to put a stop to him once and for all. Listen for what happens when Paul is arrested, and notice how he uses the situation to realize his dream of preaching in Rome.
Paul decided to go to Jerusalem. He went through Macedonia and Achaia. After I've been to Jerusalem, he said, I must visit Rome also. At that time, many people became very upset about the way of Jesus. There was a man named Demetrius who made things out of silver. He made silver models of the temple of the goddess Artemis. He brought in a lot of business for the other skilled workers. One day he called them together. He also called others who were in the same kind of business. Men, he said, you know that we make good money from our work. You have seen and heard what this fellow Paul is doing. He has talked to large numbers of people here in Ephesus. Almost everywhere in Asia Minor, he has led people away from our gods. He says that the gods we make are not gods at all. Our work is in danger of losing its good name. People's faith in the temple of the great goddess Artemis will be weakened. When they heard this, they became very angry. They began shouting, "Great is Artemis of the Ephesians!" Soon, people were making trouble in the whole city. They all rushed into the theater. They dragged Gaius and Aristarchus along with them. These two men had come with Paul from Macedonia. Paul wanted to appear in front of the crowd, but the believers wouldn't let him. Some of the officials in Asia Minor were friends of Paul. They sent him a message begging him not to go into the theater. The crowd didn't know what was going on. Some were shouting one thing and some another. Most of the people didn't even know why they were there. The city clerk quieted the crowd down. "People of Ephesus," he said, "the whole world knows that the city of Ephesus guards the temple of the great Artemis. They know that Ephesus guards her statue, which fell from heaven. These facts can't be questioned. So calm down. Don't do anything foolish." "These men haven't robbed any temples. They haven't said evil things against our goddess. But you have brought them here anyhow. Demetrius and the other skilled workers may feel they have been wronged by someone. Let them bring charges." "The courts are open. We have our governors. Is there anything else you want to bring up? Settle it in a court of law. As it is, today we are in danger of being charged with causing all this trouble." After he said this, he sent the people away. All the trouble came to an end. Then Paul sent for the believers. After cheering them up, he said goodbye. He then left for Macedonia. On the first day of the week, we met to break bread and eat together. Paul spoke to the people. He kept on talking until midnight because he planned to leave the next day. There were many lamps in the room upstairs where we were meeting. A young man named Eutychus was sitting in a window. He sank into a deep sleep as Paul talked on and on. Sound asleep, Eutychus fell from the third floor. When they picked him up from the ground, he was dead. Paul went down and threw himself on the young man. He put his arms around him. "Don't be alarmed," he told them. "He's alive." Then Paul went upstairs again. He broke bread and ate with them. He kept on talking until daylight. Then he left. The people took the young man home. They were greatly comforted because he was alive. We went on ahead to the ship. Paul had decided to sail past Ephesus. He was in a hurry to get to Jerusalem. From Miletus, Paul sent for the elders of the church at Ephesus. When they arrived, he spoke to them. "Now I am going to Jerusalem. The Holy Spirit compels me. I don't know what will happen to me there. I only know that in every city the Spirit warns me. He tells me that I will face prison and suffering. But my life means nothing to me. I only want to finish the race. I want to complete the work the Lord Jesus has given me. He wants me to give witness to others about the good news of God's grace. Keep watch over yourselves. Keep watch over all the believers. The Holy Spirit has made you leaders over them. Be shepherds of God's church. He bought it with his own blood." When Paul had said this, he got down on his knees with all of them and prayed. They all cried as they hugged and kissed him. Then they went with him to the ship. When we arrived in Jerusalem, the brothers and sisters gave us a warm welcome. The next day, Paul and the rest of us went to see James. All the elders were there. Paul greeted them. Then he reported everything God had done among the non-Jews through his work. Some Jews from Asia Minor saw Paul at the temple. They stirred up the whole crowd. People came running from all directions. They grabbed Paul and dragged him out of the temple. Right away, the temple gates were shut. The people were trying to kill Paul. But news reached the commander of the Roman troops. He heard that people were making trouble in the whole city of Jerusalem. At once, he took some officers and soldiers with him. They ran down to the crowd. The people causing the trouble saw the commander and his soldiers, so they stopped beating Paul. The commander came up and arrested Paul. He ordered him to be held with two chains. Then he asked who Paul was and what he had done. Some in the crowd shouted one thing, some another, but the commander couldn't get the facts because of all the noise, so he ordered that Paul be taken into the fort. He gave orders for Paul to be whipped and questioned. A commander was standing there as they stretched Paul out to be whipped. Paul said to him, "Does the law allow you to whip a Roman citizen who hasn't even been found guilty?" When the commander heard this, he went to the commanding officer and reported it. "What are you going to do?" the commander asked. "This man is a Roman citizen." Right away, those who were about to question him left. Even the officer was alarmed. He realized that he had put Paul, a Roman citizen, in chains. The commanding officer wanted to find out exactly what the Jews had against Paul. So the next day, he let Paul out of prison. He ordered a meeting of the chief priests and all the Sanhedrin. Then he brought Paul and had him stand in front of them. Their arguing got out of hand. The commanding officer was afraid that Paul would be torn to pieces by those who were arguing. So he ordered the soldiers to go down and take him away from them by force. They were supposed to bring him into the fort. The next night, the Lord stood near Paul. He said, "Be brave. You have given witness about me in Jerusalem. You must do the same in Rome." The next morning, the Jews gathered secretly to make plans against Paul. But Paul's nephew heard about this plan, so he went into the fort and told Paul. Then Paul called one of the commanders. He said to him, "Take this young man to the commanding officer. He has something to tell him." So the commander took Paul's nephew to the officer. The commanding officer took the young man by the hand. He spoke to him in private. "What do you want to tell me?" the officer asked. He said, "The Jews have agreed to ask you to bring Paul to the Sanhedrin tomorrow. They will pretend they want more facts about him. Don't give in to them. More than 40 of them are waiting in hiding to attack him." The commanding officer let the young man go, but he gave him a warning. "Don't tell anyone you have reported this to me," he said. Then the commanding officer called for two of his commanders. He ordered them, "Gather a company of 200 soldiers, 70 horsemen, and 200 men armed with spears. Get them ready to go to Caesarea at 9 o'clock tonight. Provide horses for Paul so that he may be taken safely to Governor Felix." The soldiers followed their orders. During the night, they took Paul with them. 2 years passed. Porcius Festus took the place of Felix, but Felix wanted to do the Jews a favor, so he left Paul in prison. 3 days after Festus arrived, he went up from Caesarea to Jerusalem. There, the chief priests and Jewish leaders came to him and brought their charges against Paul. Festus spent 8 or 10 days in Jerusalem with them. Then he went down to Caesarea. He ordered Paul to be brought to him. When Paul arrived, the Jews who had come down from Jerusalem stood around him. They brought many strong charges against him, but they couldn't prove them. Then Paul spoke up for himself. He said, "I've done nothing wrong against the law of the Jews or against the temple. I've done nothing wrong against Caesar." But Festus wanted to do the Jews a favor, so he said to Paul, "Are you willing to go up to Jerusalem? Are you willing to go on trial there?" Paul answered, "I'm already standing in Caesar's court. This is where I should go on trial. I make my appeal to Caesar." Festus talked it over with the members of his court. Then he said, "You have made an appeal to Caesar. To Caesar, you will go." It was decided that we would sail for Italy. Paul and some other prisoners were handed over to a Roman commander named Julius. He belonged to the Imperial Guard. We boarded a ship at Adramidium. We headed out to sea. Before long, a wind blew down from the island. It had the force of a hurricane. The ship was caught by the storm. The sun and stars didn't appear for many days. The storm was terrible, so we gave up all hope of being saved. The men had not eaten for a long time. Paul stood up in front of them. "Men," he said, "not one of you will die. Only the ship will be destroyed. I belong to God and serve Him. Last night, His angel stood beside me. The angel said, 'Do not be afraid, Paul. You must go on trial in front of Caesar. God has shown His grace by sparing the lives of all those sailing with you.'" When daylight came, they saw a bay with a sandy beach. They didn't recognize the place, but they decided to run the ship onto the beach if they could. So they cut the anchors loose and left them in the sea. At the same time, they untied the ropes that held the rudders. They lifted the sail at the front of the ship to the wind. Then they headed for the beach. But the ship hit a sandbar, so the front of it got stuck and wouldn't move. The back of the ship was broken to pieces by the pounding of the waves. The soldiers planned to kill the prisoners. They wanted to keep them from swimming away and escaping. But the commander wanted to save Paul's life, so he kept the soldiers from carrying out their plan. He ordered those who could swim to jump overboard first and swim to land. The rest were supposed to get there on boards or other pieces of the ship. That is how everyone reached land safely. When we were safe on shore, we found out that the island was called Malta. The people of the island were unusually kind. It was raining and cold, so they built a fire and welcomed all of us. When we were ready to sail, they gave us the supplies we needed. At last, we came to Rome. The brothers and sisters there had heard we were coming. They traveled as far as the Forum of Appius and the Three Taverns to meet us. When Paul saw these people, he thanked God and was cheered up. When we got to Rome, Paul was allowed to live by himself, but a soldier guarded him. For 2 whole years, Paul stayed there in a house he rented. He welcomed all who came to see him. He preached boldly about God's kingdom. No one could keep him from teaching people about the Lord Jesus Christ.